Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
As we get ready for the sermon series continuing in Jonah this morning, I want to tell you just a quick story. There were two brothers, two little boys, and as little boys and little brothers would do, they got into a fight, and as often happens, the little one got the worst of the fight. So the mama broke him up, sent him to the room, got ready to put him to bed, and that little boy was just mad. He was mad at his big brother. And his mama consoled him, and she reminded him. Now, the Bible tells us, don't let that son go down on your anger. And he said, Mama, how in the world am I going to keep that son from going down? Well, have you ever gotten angry because someone challenged you about being angry? Meet Jonah. Well, Jonah preached one of the greatest revivals in all of history. And it was a revival that he did not want to see happen because his heart was not in it. But God's heart was in it. And Nineveh believed God and they repented. And God saw the evidence of their repentance in their deeds. And he relented and he did not destroy the city. And so Jonah sulked and he went away and he was angry. Chapter 4, but I'm going to back up to the last verse of chapter 3. When God saw that they had done what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and he did not carry out the destruction that he threatened. Now, chapter 4, this change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to anger and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me. Kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. And the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry about this? Tell you what, Jonah's something else, isn't he? He quotes from Exodus chapter 34. And he quotes words that should not be read in the tone that I just read them. They should be wonderful, soothing, life-giving words. And Jonah throws God's words back in his face. And he says, I knew that you would be gracious. I knew you would be compassionate. And he throws a fit over God's goodness. And then he says, just kill me now, Yahweh. Just take my life. Because what I wanted to happen is not going to happen. Can anybody relate to Jonah? I'm looking at some Jonahs. I'm looking at Jonah when I look in the mirror, folks. See, there is just this great irony that Jonah is quick to be angry because God is not. He's quick to be angry because God is slow to be angry. And he's mad at God because he doesn't like what God is like. So what is God like? He's compassionate. He's slow to anger. He's full of unfailing love. That's Exodus 34. It's quoted many times throughout the rest of the Bible. But some people have this idea that in the Old Testament, God was mean and he was cranky and he was angry. But then in the New Testament, Jesus is kind and good and forgiving. And that somewhere along the way, Jesus changed God. That's what a lot of folks have that idea. But folks, Jesus is the way that he is because he is the God of the Old Testament. God didn't change. God sent Jesus so we would see in human form what God is really like. And Jonah knew it, and he didn't like it. And that's this tension that's in the book, is what do you do when you don't like what God is like? What do you do when you don't like what God is like? What do you do when, here's the real point of the matter, what do you do when you think God should be more like you? That's always been our problem. It's been our problem since the garden. God made us in his image, and we keep trying to remake God in our image. And Jonah proves this over and over and over. He did the right thing, but his heart was not in it. He obeyed God finally, and he preached to Nineveh, and it was a great success. But his heart wasn't in it, and he was mad at God because it worked. Which proves that you can run from God in disobedience, and you can also run from God even in obedience. We can obey God for a lot of reasons. We can obey God because we have to. We can obey God because we want to. We can obey God because we don't want to go back to the belly of that well. But the problem is that our heart is not captured by the things that capture the heart of God. But praise God, he always intervenes either way. God, when Jonah ran away in disobedience, God intervened. When Jonah obeyed but still was running away, God intervened. And he intervened with the question, Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? Because few things reveal the condition of our heart like the conditions that make us angry. What makes you angry? Get to the heart of that and you'll get to your heart. Because anger exposes our idolatry. See, idolatry is mentioned over 1,000 times in Scripture. That's a lot. Idolatry is mentioned over 1,000 times in Scripture. Idolatry is something that is very serious. Really, honestly, I think it is almost the sin in the Bible. Because our sin is rooted in replacing God with other things or in making God into our own image. And that's an idol. That's idolatry. And God can't bless us when we are idolatrous, because if he did, he would be blessing a lie, because the God that we've created is a lie, or the gods that we follow, they are lies, and he cannot bless a lie. He can't bless you when you put something else in place of God. Most of the time we do it by still wanting to keep God. We don't just completely do away with him. But either way, God cannot bless us, because he can't bless a life where he is included but not exalted. And see, Jonah knew this. Remember Jonah's prayer? Part of his prayer when he was in the belly of that fish, quoting from the Psalms, he said, "Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them." And like me, Jonah prays better than he lives. Because Jonah didn't think of himself as an idolater. That's what other people do. But Jonah was. And I think we get a hint at to what Jonah's idol was in the very first words that Jonah speaks in the whole book. The very first words Jonah speaks in the whole book are, "I am a Hebrew." I think Jonah's idol was his nationality. I think Jonah's identity was wrapped up in his ethnicity. He's a Hebrew. And here's the problem with that. Because Jonah's national agenda, he wanted his national agenda to trump God's global agenda. Israel hated Assyria. Assyria was their horrible enemy. And Jonah, as a Hebrew, wanted Nineveh to go down. But God, as sovereign over the whole world, wanted Nineveh to be saved. Jonah was in a fix. His idol was leading him away from God. And that's a problem with idolatry, because when you make something besides your identity, when you make something besides God your identity and your security, you're putting yourself in a really precarious situation, because anything besides God can and will be toppled. It'll come down. He's the only one whose name will stand forever. He's the only one who will be enthroned forever. Everything else will come down. And so when we put our hope and our trust and our identity and our security in anything other than God, we live insecurely and we live fearfully. Idolatry always leads to fear, and that fear always leads to anger. And I'm preaching to myself, folks. If you want to listen in, you might learn something. But I'm preaching to Ken. Because honestly, I was angry with God last Monday morning. I don't know why it hit me last Monday morning, but it did. And I was driving and I was having a Jonah talk with God. And I was mad. And I was mad and I was angry with God. See, Jonah was angry because God was slow to get angry. I was impatient with God because God is so patient. Because I look around and I see things that just disturb me deeply. And I see and I hear just lies that are just being spewed out of our media and our entertainment and our politicians and just everywhere, it seems to me. We're just hearing lies, and our kids are believing them, and our Christians are believing them, and the world is being led astray, and it makes me mad, and it creates chaos, and it just disturbs everything. And I think, God, why don't you do something? Why do you let this happen? Why do you let this continue? And I'm impatient with God's patience, and it makes me mad. So I'm preaching to myself. I'm Jonah. You're Jonah. And because I'm Jonah, I'm part of the problem. Philip Yancey wrote a book called Vanishing Grace. And in the book, he told a story about an American soldier during World War II who liberated one of the Nazi concentration camps. And he was not prepared for what he saw. No one could be prepared for what they saw. And one of that soldier's jobs, when they liberated this concentration camp, was that he had to unload boxcars full of stacked corpses. And he said the longer he did it, the madder he got. And he eventually he said, I was filled with rage. They finished the job. One of his buddies was told, hey, take these 12 SS officers that they captured at the camp and march them to headquarters. And his buddy marched those German soldiers ahead of him, and they went around a corner, and he said, we heard machine gun fire. And his buddy came back around the corner in no time at all, smoke coming out of his gun. He said, they ran. He told Philip Yancey, he said, that is the moment that I humbled myself before God, and I decided that I was called to ministry. Because he said, at that moment, I realized that could have been me. That evil was in me. I was that far away from doing what my buddy had done, perpetrating more evil. He said, and I became aware of how close to evil I was. And also became aware more than ever before in my life that God is the only hope. He's the only answer. Because the only answer for any of us is that God is slow to anger and full and abounding in love. And the problem is for us that anger opposes grace. Anger opposes grace. Anger loves to camouflage itself as justice. And we might say justice was done. But we don't want justice for ourselves. That's a heavy story. Here's a lighter one to help make the same point. There was a young girl who was getting married, and she and her mother went out to buy her mother a dress to wear at the wedding. And they found a beautiful dress that just what she had imagined. Got it home. The daughter then saw her dad and his new wife and found out the new wife had bought the same dress. She asked her, "Would you please not wear that dress to the wedding? My mom has that dress." And in spite, the lady said, "I'm going to wear it. I bought it first." So she went back and she told her mom what was going on and said, "Mom, what are we going to do?" And her mom said, "You know what? We're just going to go buy a new dress. I'll just wear a different dress." And they did. They went and found a very nice dress. And she said, "Well, Mama, what are you going to do with that first dress? You want to just give it away?" And she said, "Oh, no, I'm going to wear it. I'm going to wear it to the rehearsal dinner." That story feels good, doesn't it? Doesn't that story feel good? Isn't there something that feels good about somebody just getting what they deserve? Getting a chance to stick it to them? See, we love stories like that. It satisfies something in us. Because the truth is, we're all Jonah. And we want people to get what they deserve. But what they need is grace. And grace is what our God loves to show. And the Jonahs of the world are happy about grace when it's shown to them. Get kind of mad when it's shown to them. Because those of us who are Jonahs, we know that we sin, but honestly, too often, we think their sin is worse than ours. We deserve some grace. They deserve justice. And somehow, our God is full of grace and full of justice. And the justice was poured out on Jesus. And the grace gets poured out on us. And it gets poured out on the unrighteous and on the self-righteous. Grace either way. See, God is eager to show grace. It's what He is like. And the story of Jonah asks us, do we like what God is like? But that's not easy. One last story. I wish I could show you the video because this story is better coming from the one who told it, but we were not able to get the video. I'll try to do it justice and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart in the story. Young man named Chet. Chet's in his 20s. He's in a wheelchair. He was born with no arms and with no legs. And Chet goes around speaking and encouraging at schools. And he tells about what it was like to grow up like he grew up. To be picked on, to be made fun of, to be tortured really in a lot of ways by especially one kid in junior high. Chet said he just tortured me mercilessly. Thankfully, by high school, I didn't have to run into him as much, and it began to slack off. And then one day, Chet said, I saw him coming toward me, and I thought, oh, no, it's going to start again. And the boy came to Chet, and he looked down at him, and he said, I need to apologize to you. And he said, I got invited to a youth retreat. He said, I didn't even know what a youth retreat was. But I've been going to church and I've decided to follow Jesus. And the first thing I knew I needed to do was come and apologize to you, because Jesus would not have done the things to you that I did. And I am sorry. Will you forgive me? And Chet did not want to. In fact, Chet said he was mad because that kid had picked on him relentlessly. And he was mad at God that God would forgive him. And he said, God, you may be able to forget and forgive, but I can't. He does not deserve to be with us. And he said it took him quite some time to get over his anger, before the Holy Spirit began to break that wall down, began to speak to his heart. And he came to this realization, and I'm going to quote his words. He said, God gets blamed for a lot of the evil in the world. But God was doing something good in that bully's life, and I didn't want him to. So where does the evil actually come from? Chet said, from me. I was a self-proclaimed Christian, and I didn't want what was good for that guy. So we can't blame God for the evil that is actually in us. Okay, that is profound enough. What blew me away is the next thing that Chet said. The suffering I went through in junior high was the starting point for God's pursuit of that young man. And if that's the case, then I pray that God would lead me to my next assignment of suffering. Because I want someone else, even if it means hurting me, to know the grace of God. Would you stand? And would you let the Holy Spirit do some business with you this morning? Would you just bow your head? Talk to God for a minute about what really makes you angry. What you just don't think is right. And ask Him if He would give you His heart in that. And would you, just in confession and repentance, admit to God that sometimes you don't like what He's like? And ask Him to make you like Him.